I asked this question last week. I think I have to ask it again. Remember when Election Day used to be contained into one day? Oh, yes, this past week the beat went on, which brought about some interesting actions and questions. Maybe most prominent question, why are so many Republicans still standing with President Trump? Which actually the answer is quite simple. Because Trump brought 72 million people to the table on Election Day. At least at the count that we have most currently. Not enough to win, obviously, but certainly enough to be a force and a king or queen maker. Which, that actually might be why he's dragging his heels about conceding. And instead make all these insane allegations about voter fraud. Which, Trump's social media feed now at this point, it's official, has more flags on it than his properties do. But anyway, what he's doing, this creates an image that he'll be the president in exile after January 20th when he leaves, and will give him a heavier footprint on the political landscape. I've been both amused and annoyed by the people who are not just upset, but just outright angry over how Joe Biden is being referred to as president-elect. Well, they keep saying that there's no authority held until the election has been certified to use that term president-elect by anybody. I don't recall this outrage at any other time. Even in 2000 when the adventure of the Bush-Gore election went on, first Gore was referred to as president-elect, later Bush, both cases before the election was certified with the electors. I don't recall any Trump supporters bothered by the fact that Trump was referred to as president-elect after the 2016 election before it was certified. Watching the media has become a fun spectator sport, like it already hasn't. Over in Fox News, Laura Ingraham started referring to the Trump administration in the past tense. Tucker Carlson said there wasn't enough voter fraud to change the outcome. Neil Cavuto cut away from a Kayleigh McEnerney propaganda moment. And Sandra Smith was caught on mic reacting negatively to a Trump surrogate's words. Yeah, that did get a few people a tad upset. If you want to find out how upset, check out the comments of anything Fox News posts on either Facebook or Twitter. Most of these angry former Foxes are now vowing their news allegiance to either Newsmax TV or One America News, which is not news, it's more opinion and advocacy and press release reading. Now, certainly President Trump can turn to any legitimate means to make a case that there was voter fraud. I would suggest using Rudy Giuliani as lead attorney and a postal worker in Erie, Pennsylvania, with more stories than a kid's bedtime book as part of your claims foundation, creates pretty steep odds for success, but that's not for me to decide, is it? Now, regarding those who stood close to Trump within government, among those, not surprising, has been, well, believed to be Attorney General William Barr. But has he? You probably heard about the memo Barr issued instructing U.S. attorneys to launch inquiries only if there is clear and apparently credible allegations of irregularities that, if true, could potentially impact the outcome of a federal election in an individual state. That's reading from the memo, which also says that if alleged irregularities would not impact the results, that investigation should be held off until after that election for that state is certified. In either case, the claims being made don't involve enough votes to change the outcome, but Barr also warned the U.S. attorneys that speculation and claims should not be used as a basis for an investigation. So that erases just about everything you've seen on social media or heard from the Trump sycophants. The memo additionally stated that the DOJ has not concluded that voter fraud has taken place. If you look at the structure of the memo too, this could be just a case of Barr building a safe zone for himself. Trump never reads fully what someone gives him. Barr left pretty much all those caveats until the end of the memo. Smart move there. Now, if you look at the legal actions of Team Trump, in a summary that could be called meritless, because to get a judge's attention, you need to show up with more than a belief about the possibility of an allegation. They even tried to file lawsuits in courts that have no legal jurisdiction over elections and voting, by the way. In Pennsylvania, that seems to be where they're placing their biggest bet. They've launched a court action based on the Equal Protection Clause contained in the 14th Amendment. Problem with that is, That clause calls for equal opportunity for people. There's no claim being made that any person was denied the opportunity to vote. Some legal experts have spoken about the Trump Team Pennsylvania Legal Action. David Becker, who is the executive director and founder of the Center for Election Innovation Research, said the Trump campaign continues to spread lies about transparency of this process and the access to observers. Trump campaign observers and Republican Party observers were present at every moment that every ballot was considered in Pennsylvania. He also said the Trump campaign admitted as much in a hearing before a federal judge last week, when a lawyer said there were a non-zero number of observers from the campaign present during ballot counting in Philadelphia. Erwin Chemerinsky, who's the dean of University of California Berkeley School of Law, said that he could not imagine federal courts citing insufficient oversight of ballot counting as the basis for disallowing votes. Said what's crucial is that courts are very reluctant to disqualify ballots that were lawfully cast. Barry Richard, who represented President George W. Bush in the legal fight back in 2000, said the alleged violations raised in the complaint, including unequal treatment of in-person and mail-in voters, the unauthorized extension of time to resolve signature issues, unsolicited mail-in ballots sent to voters, and positioning poll watchers far from the ballot processing, do not rise to the level of federal violations that the Supreme Court would take up. Daniel Lang, who's co-director of voting rights and redistricting at the Campaign Legal Center, that's an organization that supports unrestricted access to voting, just to make clear what they stand on. They said, Danielle said the lawsuit is essentially an attempt to disallow mail-in voting after the fact. By extension, that would cast a shadow over the accuracy and reliability of mail voting in other states, including those that Trump won. And Lawrence Tribe, who is a constitutional law expert at Harvard Law School, said the lawsuit fails to allege facts sufficient to support a conclusion that the relief sought would alter the election's result. Key difference between this complaint and the submission leading the Supreme Court to intervene in the state recount in Bush v. Gore in 2000. So that's the situation in Pennsylvania. Now, if you look at Nevada, there's a lawsuit claiming, again, problems with the voter registration list and that individuals who are not residents of the state, but in fact not only residents of neighboring states like California, but actually voted, for example, in California and in Nevada. There's a dispute over the fact that there may have been illegal and invalid votes cast in that election. According to legal experts, it's not necessarily illegal to be registered in more than one state, believe it or not. That often happens. Not through the fault of a voter when they simply move from one state to another. Just neglect. But if you take advantage of that and you cast a vote in two different states in the same election, that's the criminal violation. So that's something that has to be proven. There's that nasty little concept of proof once again. Part of the problem in Georgia, the legal people are saying, is that the Trump campaign produced witnesses saying that, for example, one of the counties, their election officials were accepting process and counting absentee ballots that were received past the state deadline. Deadline of Georgia is the closing of polls on Election Day. The witnesses say, in fact, they continue to accept absentee ballots after that time. Also claims being made that, again, individuals who aren't actually living in the state anymore are registered to vote and may have cast ballots. Given the fact now that there is a hand recount going on in Georgia, those are allegations that should be found to be either factual or mere allegations when that process is over and done with. Now keep in mind the calendar clock does keep ticking. States have to certify the outcomes in time for the Electoral College to meet in the beginning of December. So the longer this all goes on, the more failure the Trump campaign has, the fewer options they're going to wind up having. There's a problem, too, when you think of what the claims are being made as. Another one of the points of reliance that supporters of the Trump campaign are leaning on is Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution, which they're selective with. They're presenting the following. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, but no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the U.S. shall be appointed an elector. That's where they stop. And they make the claim that the state governors can nominate electors who will, no matter what, cast their vote for Trump. Let us continue with where Article 2, Section 1 continues, albeit updated, in the 12th Amendment. Because the election of the vice president changed, but the wording did stay the same. And we continue with, the electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by the ballot for president and VP, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. They shall name in their ballots the person voted for as president, and in distinct ballots the person voted for as vice president, and they shall make distinct lists of all persons voted for as president, and of all persons voted for as vice president, and of the number of votes for each, which lists they shall sign and certify, transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States directed to the president of the Senate, which is the vice president, in this case Mike Pence, shall in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives open all of the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president, if such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. If no person have such a majority, then from the persons having the highest numbers, not exceeding 3 on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. So that is according to the Constitution. Just an additional legal tidbit, faithless electors as they're called, meaning voting for someone other than who the state voters voted for, that's against the law in 32 states. In the states where it's not against the law, a few rare times it's been tried, the numbers were in single digits. When you think of all that we've seen this past week, all of the flagged tweets and social media posts, the stories without proof that have been brought about, it's quite sad how quickly people leap over a canyon to embrace what they agree with or falsely comforts them, rather than giving an ear to what teaches and strengthens them. What's being presented as fact in our current days falls far short of the definition of fact, yet if someone agrees with it, they'll blindly embrace it. And that sets up a situation when that reality is established firmly with finality, without question, that blind person often becomes an angry person whose actions will not end well. All this brings me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths.